even means. Good morning, folks. We're glad to see you today. We appreciate you coming. Those of you that are visiting, Zach, sure, it's good to see you. And all the others that are here this morning, we appreciate your being here. And we hope and we trust and pray that we'll be lifted up to serve our God and our King as Jesus Christ and do all that we can to bring others to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I want to carry you back this morning to the Old Testament. The Bible tells us for whatsoever things are written aforetime, were written for our learning. Now, we need to learn. And we need to learn those things that are written. And whatsoever is written aforetime, were written for our learning. We, through patience, comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That's what we need. All of us are living in a terrible world. These are the latter days, the last days. And the Bible tells us that things shall come to pass in the days, these last days. We have Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And we can go back in the Old Testament and we can learn how people reacted under circumstances that were very difficult and learn how we should act today. And here in the story, did you find in Esther 4, 13 and 14? Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther, the queen. Esther, the queen, being asked to do something. Going back quickly as we kind of get a scope of the different circumstances that they're in at this time. There's a man whose name is King Azariah. Very wicked king. And the Bible tells us that for 180 days, he had a feast for his princes, for all those that were around, and they were really living it up. Finally, after the 180 days, they have another special feast. And in this special feast, he brings out, and everybody that was there were drinking out of a cup. And this cup, they were all made out of gold. And not a single one of them was like another. I mean, this king had all kinds of wealth. And this king loved to party. And thus, in all of this, we find how the Bible tells us that after this, the king calls forth from his for his queen. He says to Vashti, "You come and you appear for all of these." But can you imagine? Vashti, beautiful queen she was, going to come and appear before these drunk people. She refused to do something. He said she would not do it. And the question came up, and what should be done to the queen who has now rejected what the king told her to do? She should be removed, and another shall be appointed. And the other one that was appointed was Esther. Esther was a very beautiful young lady. Esther was, and I love her name, go back, and you can find that it's actually translated Myrtle, a beautiful name. And Esther, as the Bible tells us, then as she was coming, she was approved by the king, and she became queen. Esther was living with her cousin Mordecai. Mordecai was a man that really devoted to serving the king. And he was a Jew. And the Bible tells that Mordecai heard. He heard about the two eunuchs. And these eunuchs were plotting to kill the king. Now what do you do when you learn about a plot? Well, the Bible says Mordecai told Esther, and Esther told the king. And it was written down in the king's book what Mordecai had done to save the life of the king. Haman was a man. had become like the right-hand man of the king Azariah. And the Bible tells us that Haman happy was appointed to a special position, and he wanted everybody to bow down to it. But guess what? Mordecai the Jew would not do so, and this enraged him. And so he erected gallows, as he was encouraged to do so. And on this gallows, he planned to hang Mordecai. But just the night before he plans to do this, the king is against him very well. And the Bible tells us that he rose up in the night. And in the book that had been written, here has been written what Mordecai had done for the king in saving the king's life. And so he had calls in Haman, and he says, what has been done for this man? And what should we do for a man that has saved the life of the king? And Haman's thinking all this is going to be about him. And oh, he was telling about how he ought to be put on the horse, taken down through all the people bowing down to him. And then the king Azariah said to Haman, do that immediately to Mordecai. Boy, that really is a tough one. Mordecai was a Jew who would not bow down to Haman. And as you know, from the Bible itself, the Bible tells us that Haman, therefore, had to do what the king instructed. And he put a robe on Mordecai, let him, still not happy about the whole situation. And then it's called in, and we find out that as Esther has been told by Mordecai what has been done, and then the king finds out what Haman has done, and he's planning to kill Mordecai, to hang him. And you know, he's really upset because after the feast that Esther had, and the Bible tells us that she then tells the king what this man is planning to do. He made an issue with the king, and that issue was to kill all the Jews. But one thing the king did not know that Esther was a Jew. When he found out that Esther was a Jew, Esther told him, that's what this man Haman is doing. He wants to destroy all of God's people, all of the Jews. And as the story goes, we find that Haman, who had planned to kill Mordecai on the gallows, now is hung up on the gallows himself. But I want to go back now to chapter 4. Here we find Esther. You're not supposed to go before the king unless the king asks for you, even the queen. And at first she's hesitating evidently because look at the text. The Bible says to Mordecai, saying to Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. The law has been made. All the Jews will be killed. You'll be one of them. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace this time, then shall their enlargement deliver the right to the Jews from another place. God has sent someone else. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And then this question, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time? Esther did go before the king. The king did accept her. And of course, the Jews were not destroyed as Haman had designed. I want to ask you a few questions this morning. That is, have you ever faced a time in your life where your circumstances just seemed plain awful? Like things could not get any worse, only they do get worse. Maybe you're in a marriage where it seems your spouse just doesn't care about you. Heard of a case last week, or maybe a few weeks ago, where this was the case. I remember a man had been living with his wife for 40 years, some years ago. And he said he'd fallen out of love with his wife. 40 years? And he wanted to just have a divorce. And they each want to live with by themselves apart. Maybe you've faced death in your family. And you think, I just can't do this. And maybe you're in a financial hardship that is really no fault of your own. And you want, God, what are you doing? Why me? Maybe you're facing medical conditions or problems that seem just overwhelming. And you think, God, where are you? I'm sick. Why am I having to go all through all of this? Let me tell you this morning, in the midst of difficult circumstances, our God is busy working behind the scenes. And yes, Romans 8:28 is true, where the Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. God hadn't forgotten. Esther had arisen for a time to take care of a matter that needed to be established that only she could do. It may be that you and I are like that. Circumstances that are very difficult. And let me suggest to you this morning that the Almighty God, our Creator, is still over it all. Now next Sunday, I've been asked to preach on prayer and also prophecy. I want to do that. In the study of God's Word, we find various people who couldn't understand the things that were happening, but at the end, it all worked out good for them. And so this morning, what does God teach us to do to be prepared for such a time as this? And I suggest you, first of all, listen to God. Yes, in Matthew 3:13-17, where the Bible records the baptism of Jesus. And the Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, He came up out of the water. And what happened? There's the voice of God that says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In Matthew 17, He adds a phrase where Peter, James, and John are together. And Jesus is transfigured before them. And there's a voice that comes out of the heavens after Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us build 3 tabernacles, one for Thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while He yet spoke, what did your voice say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. In other words, God is saying, listen to Him. In John 5:39-40. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life eternal, and they are they which testify of me. What is it that God is saying? Look through the words that I've spoken. In Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. In 2 Timothy 3:14-17, continue thou in the things thou learnest and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Do your children know the Scriptures? Do you know the Scriptures? Are you listening to the Scriptures? These are the words of God. Read your Bible yourself. Pay attention to God. Listen to God. Secondly, believe. Just believe. I cannot tell you why God does a lot of things. I don't have to do. Sometimes I've had people ask me, Brother Guy, why? But I believe the One who spoke. And I know in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is rewarder them that diligently seek Him. And I know that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I know that. Why? The Bible says. Remember when the most of the people were ceased following after Christ in John chapter 6, verses 68 through 69? And when Jesus looked at his disciples, he said, will you also go away? And it was Peter who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, John 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I'm he, you should die. Number two, listen and believe God. When God says something, don't question it. Believe it. Thirdly, obey. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Is he going to save you or is he going to save me if we don't obey him? When the Son of God obeyed him. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 tells us without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus did obey God. Saul didn't obey God in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and he was rejected from being king. Hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Forget it, folks. We're not willing. We may hear him, but if we're not willing to obey him, you're not listening to him, we're not going to be, what good will it do? Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, here Paul said, work out your own salvation and do it with fear and trembling. That's everybody. No wonder we read in Acts 5 and verse 29, where Peter and the others were commanded, don't you speak in the name of Jesus. And they said, we must obey God rather than man. I found this on the internet. I thought it was pretty interesting. Saw the tater people. Some people never even seem motivated to participate, but are just they're content to watch while others do the work, and we'll just call them spectators. What is it these people are? They just look. They just watch. They don't get involved in the Lord's work. Some people never do anything to help, but they are gifted at finding fault with the way others do the work. They're not doing it themselves, and they're criticizing somebody else that's doing it. You might call them the commentators. Some people are very bossy and like to tell others what to do, but don't want to dirty their own hands. They can tell others, but instead of really getting involved themselves, they're called dictators. Some people are always looking to cause problems by asking others to agree with them. It's too hot or it's too cold, it's too sour, too sweet. They're agitated. And there are those who say they will help. And they got all these programs. And they just make up every program in the world, get everybody involved in it. But they themselves will not do anything. They never get around to actually doing what they promised to do. Call them the hesitators. Which one fits me? Which one fits you? I hope the last one. Then there are those who love others, who will do what they say they will do. They're always prepared to stop whatever they're doing. They lend a helping hand. They bring sunshine in the lives of others, and you can call them sweet tasters. They're people that tell you they're ready to do something for others. And they do. Fourthly, we are prepared for a time such as this if we will do everything we can to glorify God. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever." Amen. Grow. To do what? Bring honor to glory to God. In Psalms 115, verse 1, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth." It's your glory that we're seeking. In Psalms 29 and verses 1 and 2, "Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Praise, glorify God." John 14, verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name," Jesus said, "that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified." Jesus came to glorify God. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as the ability that God giveth him, that in all things God may be glorified." How can we be prepared for a time such as this? We can listen to God. We can pay attention to what he says. We'll obey God. We will glorify God, finally, and we'll trust him. We'll put our confidence all in Almighty God. Esther was told, "Who knoweth whether you have been chosen to now appear before the king for a time such as this?" Here we are, 27. Here we are, February. We've made our resolution. We've said what we're going to do. We're changing our lives. We sinners are now trying to do all we can to make our lives better, because we've turned to the Lord and we want to do his will, or have we? Prepared by God, by our trust in him. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." There it is. Who shall we be? In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." He's over us. He's looking over us. He's going to help us, if only we'll put our trust in him. In Isaiah, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, 3 and 4, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusts in thee." Remember Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, God says, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Who knoweth that we're living in a time such as this for a specific reason? And what will we do with what God has given to us in this great and wonderful opportunity of time to serve him? Yes, Esther was a good example. It could have cost her her life. Because anybody that came before the king who was not called for, unless the king accepted them, death would be rendered to them. In Matthew 5, 16, these young children say this verse so long, "Let your light be shining. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When Peter, the Bible says in verse 12 of Acts 4, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then right then, in noting about Peter, the Bible says, they took knowledge, Peter, of them. People know that you and I have been with Jesus. In 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 5, wives are told to live good lives, that by their lives, those who are married to people that are not Christians will be influenced and thereby led to the Lord and obedience to God. Someone said a person who is beautiful on the inside is truly a person who stands out in a crowd. Remember Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death. In 1 Peter 15, verse 19, where Paul said, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we of all men most pitiful. And Philippians 4, I've learned the secret of life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Vance Havener said, you have not really learned a commandment until you have obeyed it. The church suffers today from Christians who know volumes more than what they practice. Why are we here? To live for Jesus for sacred time. That's why this morning in conclusion, if you're not a Christian, now is the time for you to obey the gospel. This morning, here's water. What does hinder you to be baptized? Saul was so. Why tarriest thou? And I ask you, why are you tarrying? Once you arise, be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. Serving the Lord faithfully if you're a child of God. And you haven't lived faithfully in the service. Ask God to forgive you. Let us be people who want to do all that we can. Because we're in a time such as this. For a reason. And that is to serve our Lord. If you're subject in any way to the gospel call, I want you to obey it. Lord, together we stand.